Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Viewers, this is the seventh episode of the 17th topic. And as you know, we have been analyzing the famous narrative which says that the Quran was revealed on seven Ahruf. In the last episode, we had finished critically evaluating the text of the narratives. And what we had done was that we had critically cast a look at the seven major interpretations of this narrative. And we had found that none of them is convincing. And from today onwards, we'll start studying the chains of narration of this narrative. And this narrative has been reported in a number of ways by many Sahaba. We have at least 16 Sahaba reporting this narrative, which I have been able to gather, although the claim is that there are more than 16. And then we have seven narratives which have been reported by the Sahaba themselves. The 16 are the Marfu narratives. And then we have seven Mawquf narratives from the Sahaba. And then we have nine Maqtu narratives, which means narratives which have been narrated by the Tabi'un. And finally, we will analyze four other narratives or four other categories of narratives in which we will see that certain narratives have been reported which explain the meaning of these seven Ahruf narratives. Now, as you can see on your screen, the Sahaba who report the Marfu narratives, they narrate these narratives from the Prophet directly, are being displayed. You can see there are 16, and as you go along, we find Umar ibn al-Khattab, and his narrative has been reported by eight of his students, which you can see as you can browse down his name. Then the second has been reported by Usman ibn Affan, and then we have the third reported by Ubay ibn Ka'b. And from Ubay, again, we have seven of his students reporting this narrative. And from his own students, we have some other variants as well. In the fourth place, you can see, is Abdullah bin Masood. And we once again find that there are seven of his students reporting this narrative from him. In the fifth place, we have Abu Huraira, radiya ta'ala anhu. Then in the sixth place, we have Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman. The seventh is Abu Sayyid al-Khudri. Anas ibn Malik is the eighth person. Ninth is Abdullah ibn Abbas. 10th is Amr ibn al-As, 11 is Umm Ayyub, 12th is Samara ibn Jundab, 13th is Abdullah ibn Umar, 14th is Abu Juhayma Ansari, 15th is Abu Bakra, and 16th is Suleiman ibn Surad. So these are the 16 Sahaba who report Marfu narratives or narratives directly from the Prophet himself, and all these Sahaba who report these narratives can be seen that the count comes to 16, although, as I said earlier on, we have reports in which in excess of 16, the name is in excess of 16. But as far as I'm concerned, I've done my best to research as far as I could, and I could only gather the names of 16 Sahaba who report Marfu narratives. Then, as far as the Mawquf narratives are concerned, in which the Sahabi directly reports something from his own self, there are seven in number. One is from Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second is from Ibn Masud, and from him, three students separately narrate this narrative. Then we have, in the third place, Ma'az ibn Jabal, in the fourth place, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then we have Abdullah ibn Abbas in the fifth place, and sixthly, we have Suleiman ibn Surad, and seventh, we have Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So all these Sahaba, they come out to seven in number who report this narrative. They do not report it from the Prophet, but this narrative is—it's a mawquf. These are mawquf narratives in which the Sahabi or a Sahabi narrates something from his own self. Then we have nine maqtu narratives, and as I said earlier on, these nine are also found in our hadith books. We have Muhammad ibn Sirin. Then we have Abu Kilab at number two. And at the third place, we have Amr ibn Dinar. Then we have Suleiman ibn Mihran al-Amish in the fourth place. In the fifth place, we have Yahya ibn Abi Usaid. In the sixth place, we have Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. And from him, two students narrate, Mujahid ibn Jabr and Abu al-Hakam. In the seventh place, we have Qatada ibn Di'ama and then Abu Ubaida. And in the ninth place, we have Salama ibn Abi Salama. So these are the nine people of the Tabi'un, which also report this narrative. And you can see their names being displayed before you. And then we have four people also reporting narratives which actually explain the meaning of the various interpretations, or which actually are used by various scholars to gauge the fact that this particular narrative is an interpretation of the seven Ahruf narratives. So we shall also critically view the chains of narration of those four people who narrate this narrative. And amongst them, the first one is Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then we have Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And from him, four of his students narrate separate narratives. And then we have Abu Talha. And then we have Zayd ibn Arqam, so radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So all these four Sahaba actually report narratives which explain some of these seven Ahrum narratives. So this is just a summary of viewers of what is going to be discussed in the next many sessions of this topic. The first and foremost narrative, viewers, that we're going to analyze is the famous Umar Hisham variant, which we have discussed a number of times in a number of places in the previous talks and previous versions. I'm not going to read out the narrative before you know the translation because we have done so a number of times. But what I'll do is I'll present the critique on the chain of narration of this narrative. Now, in recent times, this particular narrative or this variant of the seven Ahruf narrative has been criticized by Shabir Ahmad Azhar Meriti in his Sahih Bukhari Ka Muta'ala. It's a book in Urdu. And he has actually critiqued this narrative, and he says that the common thing in all these narratives is that in all of them, Az-Zuhri, Ibn Shahab Zuhri, he narrates from Urwa ibn Zubair. And he says that in the narrative in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, which is perhaps is the earliest occurrence of this narrative, Zuhri's link with Urwa is in Anana. So Zuhri is guilty of tadlis in this particular narrative. And then he posits that in later books like the Al-Jami of Sahih Imam Bukhari and that of Imam Muslim, this Anana has been converted into a hadasana or a akhbarana, and therefore is something which cannot be trusted. Because the earliest occurrence of the link between Urwa, in Urwa's narration is that Zuhri's anana exists. So therefore Zuhri has an anana from Urwa ibn Zubair. This is something which is extremely important to realize, because if Zuhri's link with Urwa is an anana, then the whole narrative is rendered very suspect, because this would mean that Zuhri's tadlis has become very evident here. Now, let me go into more details vis-a-vis this particular concise information that I've just presented before you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to examine the thesis which has been put forth by Shabir Ahmad Azhar Meriti, because this is all that he has stated in his book. He has not gone into details. He has just said that the anana and the Muwatta of Imam Malik of Zuhri is a sufficient proof. But I'm going to make a more detailed review and evaluation of his claim so that we can see whether it can be trusted or not. Viewers, I have tried to gather all the narratives, all the variants of the Umar Hisham narrative, and I have concluded that they have been reported by eight students of Zuhri. So Zuhri, who is the primary person here, who is the focal point here, is the focal person, the common link, if you wish to call him, this narrative has been reported from him by eight of his students, and among them are Malik ibn Anas, then we have Ma'mur ibn Rashid, then we have Uqail ibn Khalid, then we have Shuraib ibn Abi Hamza, then we have Yunus ibn Yazid, then we have in the sixth place Ibn Akhi al-Zuhri. In the seventh place, we have Fulayh ibn Sulaiman. And in the eighth place, we have Abdurrahim Ansari. So these are the eight students who transmit this narrative from Imam Zuhri. And therefore, we are now going to analyze each of these students, the way he transmits it, and what is the situation of the anana in their particular narrations. So I'm going to start off with the first of these, they are basically, we need to realize that in the variance of all the students of Imam Malik, now we are going to take the first of these, and it is Malik ibn Anas. So Malik ibn Anas is the foremost student of Zuhri in this regard, and Malik ibn Anas reports the narrative. So in all the variants of the students of Malik ibn Anas who report this narrative from him, except one, there exists the anana of Zuhri, and following are the details of these students. The first of them is Abdullah ibn Yusuf, and his narratives have been recorded by Bukhari, for example, and besides others. Then we have Yahya ibn Yahya, his narrative has been recorded by Muslim, besides others. Then we have Al-Qa'nabi, And his narrative has been recorded by Abu Nu'aym in his Al-Musnad Al-Mustakhraj ala Sahih Muslim, besides other books as well. In the fourth place, we have Ahmad ibn Abi Bakr, and his narrative has been recorded by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih. And then we have, in the fifth place, we have Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, and his narrative has been recorded by Abu Ubaid in his Fazail al-Quran. And I'm just naming one book for each, otherwise we have other people as well who have recorded these narratives. Just an example. In the sixth place, we have Abdul Razak, and this has been recorded by Tirmidhi in his Sunan. In the seventh place, we have Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim, and his narrative has been recorded by An-Nasai in his Sunan al-Mushtaba, besides some of the other books. In the eighth place, now, as you would recall, we are discussing the students of Imam Malik who report this narrative from him. In the eighth place, we have Imam Shafi, and his narrative has been recorded by Baiqi in his Sunan al-Kubra. Then in the ninth place, we have Abdullah ibn Wahab, and recorded by Abu Awana in his Musnad. In the 10th place, we have Usman ibn Umar, and his narrative has been recorded by Abu Awana as well. In the 11th place, we have Abu Mus'ab, and his narrative has been recorded by Al-Baghwi in his Hadith Mus'ab. And then in the 12th place, we have Rauh ibn Ubadah, and his narrative has been recorded by At-Tahabi in his Shara' Mushkul al-Asar. Now we have two other people as well who report this narrative as per Imam Darqutni, but I have not been able to find their variants, so I have just enlisted them, and they are the 13th and the 14th people respectively who report this narrative from Imam Malik. But as I said, both these narratives I was not able to locate in our hadith corpus. The 13th of them is Javeria bint Asma, and the 14th is Ma'an. So these are the people, and in all probability Ma'an is here is Ma'an ibn Isa. So the one exception in this regard is Karnabi's narrative from Malik recorded by Abu al-Fazl al-Razi. So as you would recall, I had said that only in this exception the Anana does not exist, whereas in all other narratives there is the Anana. So in this particular exception in which Karnabi reports from Imam Malik, we do not have the Anana of Zuhri. So this is as far as Imam Malik is concerned. I'm now going on to the next student of Zuhri, and he's Ma'mur ibn Rashid. Ma'mur ibn Rashid, in all the variants of all the students of Ma'mur ibn Rashid who report this narrative from him, there exists the Anana of Zuhri except in one case. And let me now first go into more details. Now, the students who report this variant from, or these variants from Ma'mur ibn Rashid are Abdul Razak. His narrative is mentioned in Abu Nu'aym's Al-Musnad al-Mustakhraj ala Sahih Muslim. And the second one is Abdul Ala ibn Abdul Ala. And his narrative has been mentioned by An-Nasai in his Sunan al-Mushtaba. The one exception in this regard is that Abdul Razak from Ma'mar, the first of these variants, recorded by Abu al-Fazl al-Razi. So this is the exception in this regard. And therefore, it is here that we find the Anana of Zuhri. Now let me go on to the third person in this regard, the third student of Imam Malik, and he is Uqayl ibn Khalid. The only student who reports from him is Lais ibn Sa'd. From Lais, the following three students report. One of them is Sa'id ibn Uqayr, and his narrative is found in Bukhari, Al-Jami' al-Sahih. Then we have Yahya ibn Bukayr. His narrative is found in also in Bukhari. And then we have Abdullah ibn Salih, and his narrative is found in Abu Ubaid's Fazail al-Quran. So these are the three students who narrate from Lais. And there exists an Anana of Zuhri only in the narrative reported by Abdullah ibn Salih. So the rest is Haddasna, Akhbarna, otherwise we have this present. So viewers, now we move on to the fourth student of Imam Zuhri, and he is Shu'ayb ibn Abi Hamza. So as far as Shu'ayb ibn Abi Hamza is concerned, five students report this narrative from Abu al-Yaman, the student of Shu'ayb. So from Abu al-Yaman, who is a student of Shu'ayb, five people reported. First of them is Abu Ubaid, and this has been recorded by his own book, Fazail al-Quran. The second is Abu Zur'a, and his narrative has been recorded by Tabarani in his Musnad al-Shamiyin. Then we have Bukhari, Imam Bukhari himself, and it has been recorded by in his own book, Al-Jami' al-Sahih. In the fourth place, we have Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, And this has been recorded by his own Musnad. And then in the fifth place we have Ibrahim ibn al-Husayn, and this has been recorded by al-Bayhaqi in his Shu'ub al-Iman. Among the above students, only the first two report the anana of Zuhri. So the first two would be Abu Ubaid and Abu Zura. They report the anana of Imam Zuhri, and the rest do not. Let's now move on to the fifth student of Imam Zuhri, and he is Yunus ibn Yazid. And from Yunus ibn Yazid, we find two students reporting. One is Lays ibn Sa'ad, and the other one is Ibn Wahab. As far as Lays's narrative is concerned, you can find it in Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami' al-Sahih. And as far as Ibn Wahab is concerned, you can find his narrative in the Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Muslim. Now, in all these variants, none of the students of Ibn Wahab report the anana of Az-Zuhri. None of them. However, in the case of Lays, this is not the case. Abdullah ibn Saleh reports from Lays, and this variant has the anana of Zuhri. So this is one exception. Now we move on to the sixth student of Imam Zuhri, and he is Ibn Akhi Az-Zuhri. So the variant reported by Ibn Akhi Az-Zuhri does not contain the anana of Imam Zuhri. This is a conclusion that I can clearly see when I study the variants, and this particular variant has been recorded by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad. As far as the seventh person is concerned in this regard, the seventh student of Imam Zuhri, he is Fuleh ibn Sulaiman, and two students report this narrative from him. Now, these two students are Yunus ibn Muhammad, his narrative is found in the Musnad of Abu Awana, and then we have in the second place Abu Dawud al-Tayalsi, and his narrative is found in his own book, the Musnad of al-Tayalsi. Now, in the variant reported by Yunus ibn Muhammad, there exists the anana of Zuhri. In the variant of Abu Dawud al-Tayalsi reported by Yunus ibn Habib, there exists the anana of Zuhri in the Musnad of Abu Awana. But it does not. But this is not the same in the case of the variant recorded by the Musnad of Abu Dawud al-Tayalsi. So we have this discrepancy as well. Now, as far as the eighth and final student of Imam Zuhri is concerned, we have Abdul Rahman al-Ansari, and his narrative has been recorded by Ad-Duri in his Al-Juz Fihi Qiraat al-Nabi, and also in the Sharah Mushkilul Asar of Tahawi. And this contains the anana of Imam Zuhri. So, viewers, this is just a summary of the variants in which eight students of Imam Zuhri are reporting this narrative from their teacher, and then from them onwards, we have their own students as well. And if you recall, we are analyzing the fact that which are the narratives in which there is the anana of Zuhri, or we are trying to establish or find out whether Shabir Ahmad Azhar Meriti's premise that this has the anana of Zuhri is established or not. Now, after this brief summary, I would like you to see or like you to consider the fact what Imam Ibn Hajar has written in his Tehzeeb al-Tehzeeb regarding the students of Imam Zuhri. So it is said that Qala Ad-Duri and Ibn Ma'in Asbatu an-Nas fi Zuhri Malik wa Ma'mar Summa Adda Jama'a. This means Ad-Duri reports on the authority of Yahya ibn Ma'in that Malik and Ma'mar are the most trustworthy of Az-Zuhri's pupils, and then he counted the rest. So viewers, in the light of this passage, which you have seen, is by Hafiz ibn Hajar in his Tehzeeb al-Tehzeeb. He, according to him, the people or the students of Imam Zuhri who are much more reliable than the others are Malik and Ma'mar. So I'm now going to concentrate on the narratives which have been reported by Malik and Ma'mar from Imam Zuhri. Earlier on, if you recall, let us first take the case of Imam Malik himself. As far as Malik is concerned, we had seen that all the narratives which have been reported from Malik, and he reported from Zuhri, they contain the anana of Zuhri, except for one. And that exception was the one which is recorded by Abu al-Fazl Razi in his Ma'ani al-Ahraf al-Sabah. So you can see its chain of narration being displayed before you. Now, this particular narrative says that it does not contain the anana of Imam Zuhri. But then this is rendered ineffective if you look up at the narrative of Imam Malik in his own Muwatta. As you can see in parallel, his chain of narration is also being displayed before you. And here you can clearly see that the anana of Zuhri exists. So if you compare the two chains, in both chains, Malik is reporting from Zuhri. But in the case of his own book, Muwatta, and Muwatta, as you know, precedes Abu al-Fazl Razi's Al-Araf al-Sabra, Ma'ani al-Araf al-Sabra. So therefore, we'll give preference to what Muwatta has reported. Muwatta does not report It does report the Anana of Zuhri. However, in the case of Al-Fazl al-Razi, his particular book does not report the Anana of Zuhri. But since Mu'tah precedes Abul Fazl Razi's books, we shall rely on it. And therefore, this exception, viewers, as a result, would be rendered ineffective in my humble view. Next, viewers, let's move on to the case of Ma'mar ibn Rashid. Now, all the variants which have been reported by Ma'mar ibn Rashid, as you recall, I had earlier on said that in one of them we find that the Anana of Zuhri does not exist, and one of them it does exist. As far as the one in which the Anana does not exist, again it is the same book, and the book is Abul Fazl Razi's Ma'ani al-Arif al-Sab'a. Here you can see the chain of narration being reported being displayed before you, and here you can clearly see that the Zuhriya of the Anana of Zuhri does not exist. But then a prior work is that of Abdul Razak's Musannaf. And here you can see, in this case, Abdul Razak is reporting from Ma'mar, and Ma'mar is reporting from Zuhri. And here you can spot clearly the Anana of Zuhri. So Abdul Razak's Musannaf, which actually precedes Abul Fazl Razi's book, and in this case also we find Ma'mar reporting. But since Abdul Razak's Musannaf is the book which precedes the book of Abul Fazl Razi, and this earlier book does contain the Anana of Imam Zuhri, so therefore we are I am inclined to rely on this report. So this would mean that this particular exception is also rendered as ineffective, which in other words would mean that all the variants which have been reported by Imam Malik and all the variants which have been reported by Ma'mar, they effectively contain the Anana of Zuhri, and hence it can be safely be established that the contention of Shabbir Ahmad Azhar al-Mirati, who said that the Anana of Zuhri is established, I would go along by him and I would corroborate his conclusion, because in my opinion, the variants which actually report this narrative, the two stronger personalities in this regard are Malik and Ma'mar, and my analysis before you has just shown that these two personalities, the variants of these two personalities, they contain the Anana of Zuhri effectively. And furthermore, viewers, we have also seen some of the other students besides these two and the variants which exist between them, they also contain the Anana of Zuhri. So relying primarily on this evidence that Ma'mar and Malik's narratives effectively contain the Anana of Zuhri, and some of the other students also have this Anana, I would say that Shabbir Ahmad Azhar's Merati's conclusion or his own deduction that the Anana of Zuhri is there, and therefore the Tadlis is established here, I would corroborate it, and hence I would say that this narrative has the Tadlis of Zuhri. Zuhri is guilty of Tadlis in this narrative. His Anana is effectively present, and hence this narrative cannot be depended upon as far as its chain of narration is concerned. Viewers, so this was as far as the Umar Hisham variant is concerned. I will end this session by discussing the next person in line, who is Usman ibn Affan, and then the later narrators, inshallah, we shall look up in the later talks. Now, as far as Usman ibn Affan's narrative is concerned, it is being displayed before you, and since we have not discussed this, I will also just read out the narrative before you. And this narrative has been recorded by Al-Haris ibn Abi Usama in his Musnad. And the words here are, حدثنا عوف قال بلغني عنا عثمان قال قال على المنبر أذكر الله رجلا سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن القرآن أنزل على سبعة أحرف كلهن شاف كاف إلا قام فقاموا حتى لم يحسوا فشهدوا بذلك ثم قال عثمان وأنا أشهد معكم لأنا سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ذلك. So Auf said that it has reached him that Usman once said on the pulpit, I give the reference of God to any person who has heard the Prophet say that the Quran has been revealed on seven ahruf. Each of them is enough and sufficient to stand up. So anyone who has heard this, he should stand up. So many people then stood up that they could not be counted. So many people stood up. So the words are actually, so many people then stood up that they could not be counted. They bore witness to this statement of the Prophet. So Usman said, I also bear witness with you, because I also heard the messenger of God say this. So viewers, the chain of narration of this narrative is being displayed before you, and there is an obvious critique on this narrative, and that is that as you can see that there are two chains which this narrative has been reported from Usman. One of them is Sayyar ibn Salama, and the other one is Auf ibn Abi Jamila. Now Sayyar died in 129 Hijra, and Auf ibn Abi Jamila died in 147 Hijra, and we know that Usman died in 36 Hijra. So therefore, it is an absolutely clear cut proof of the fact that the two could not have met. Neither Sayyar could have met Usman, nor Auf ibn Abi Jamila could have met Usman, because there is this difference which separates them. Hence, all narratives in which these two people report anything from Usman, they are munkata, they are broken, and they cannot be relied upon. So this second narrative, the critique is rather simple, that because of the inkita, because of the fact that they are not muttasil, because of the fact that both Sayyar ibn Salama and Auf ibn Abi Jamila could not have reported events which took place in the times of who could not have heard from Usman, therefore such narratives cannot be regarded as reliable. So viewers, I will end my critique of these two narratives here, and inshallah in the future talks I shall take up the rest of the narrators from among the Sahaba, from the Murfu narratives first, and then the Mawquf ones, and then the Maktu ones, and finally we shall also critically analyze narratives which are alleged to have described the explanation of the seven Ahruf. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ